service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life. Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. This out of the Washington Times. Now, I know that there's a big terrorist story today. It's big. It's real big. And we'll get to it. Well, there's also another terrorist story that's disappeared. It made it on Paul Harvey, and that's it. I can't find any reference to it, about the two hijackers on the Egyptian airliner that had knives, and both were shot. Both of them were shot and killed by security. Now, that story, that's really, really interesting. But what I'm wondering is, what happened to it? Where did Paul Harvey get it? And doesn't that also illustrate, certainly it illustrates one way or another, the paper, rocks, scissors point we were making last week when at Bob Enyart Live on kgov.com, on the web at shadowgov.com, we make the point that if only we let our pilots have guns, then September 11th would not have happened. The terrorists could not have planned. They would not have attempted September 11th. They may have tried to do something else or smuggle bigger weapons aboard, but it'd be really hard to commandeer the plane for the hijackers to do that if the pilots had guns. And the liberals say, well, how do you know that? Well, because, you know, paper, rock, scissors, however that game goes, the kids play, and the scissors cuts the paper, and the paper covers the rocks, and the rocks crush the scissors. So depending on what you have, you win or lose. And if the pilots have guns and the hijackers have box cutters, it's guns, box cutters. So the hijackers have box cutters, and the pilots pull the guns and shoot the hijackers. It's pretty easy. So if this Paul Harvey's story from earlier today turns out to be true, there's an illustration that guns beat knives, even on an airplane. So, but we're looking for more information about that. And before we get to the big terrorist story of the day, this headline from the Washington Times: United Methodist Conference to rule on transsexual minister's fate. Now, the United Methodist Church, that's the church where they voted officially some years back that you don't have to believe anything to be a member of the United Methodist Church. You don't have to believe in anything. Anyway, this United Methodist Conference to rule on transsexual minister's fate. That's pretty cool. They're going to rule on his fate. Imagine if they took a vote and they tallied it and they said, yep, he's going to hell, all right. Yep. They ruled on his fate. Oh, I guess they just mean on, shouldn't say his fate, because, well, is it a woman or is it a guy? Or is that unknowable? You know, a lot of liberals say there's no such thing as truth. So this guy says he's now a woman, but is that true? I mean, if you can't know anything, how in the world could you possibly know that? If there's no such thing as absolute truth, how could that fruitcake possibly know what gender he is, being as confused as he's been? All right. And then the really sad story of the day, not getting to the dirty bomb terrorist, Abdul Idrul Muhammad, whatever his name is, not getting to that story yet, but this here, If you ever go to the Drudge Report, drudgereport.com, Matt Drudge, don't go there today. It's gross. There's a huge black church in Tampa, Florida. And, you know, liberal churches, they're used for political rallies and raising money for political candidates, for Democrats. That's sort of regular, normal business. If conservative churches tried to do that, they'd probably be investigated by the IRS, even during a Republican administration, and, you know, threatened in some way. But anyway, big Democratic churches do that all the time. And so Janet El Reno is at that church today with actor Martin Sheen. And on the Drudge Report, they've got a he's got a full-color photo. And I thought it was, I just turned to it. Oh, I shouldn't have opened the browser. Ugh. It looks like, huh? The internet is filthy. It looks like two guys kissing. Because Martin Sheen is kissing Janet El Reno. It makes me sick. Just makes me sick. Even knowing it's not two guys, it still makes me sick. That just somehow doesn't help much. It still makes me sick. All right. Now, let me tell you, it was a two-hour church service, and somehow Martin Sheen helped Janet El Reno raise $200,000, badly needed money for her campaign. And that's the way our government, our form of government pretty much works. If you could get a lot of money, you stand a much better chance of buying a seat in the government. That's the way our system works. And that's just the way it works, and that's the system. Anyway, Janet El Reno's got $200,000 more today than she did before Martin Sheen came and gave her a kiss. But it was a two-hour service at the First Baptist Church of College Hill. And this is one of the bigger, more influential black churches in Florida, certainly in the Tampa area, in Tampa. And El Reno spoke very briefly. And I want to let you know what she told the crowd. She told the crowd, now she's appealing to the black vote, right? She wants blacks to vote for her. And this is how she was selling them. She told the crowd that Florida should automatically restore voting rights of felons after they get out of jail. So that's the sales pitch. She's appealing to the felon vote. How's that? Talk about evidence. Now, Janet El Reno was, what, the Florida Attorney General before Bill Clinton conspired with her to commit all their federal crimes in Washington. And we just got an instant message from one of the board ops at one of our radio affiliates in Denver, KLTT. Pretty cool. Hey, anyway, so Janet El Reno, she's appealing to the felon vote here at a liberal church, figures. Bob and you're live. Hey, someone just called up and ordered a monthly sermon. Someone from Indianapolis. And boy, are we thankful, because people who order our monthly materials, they are the ones that most help this ministry, this show, fight against liberalism and promote the truth, promote the message of the Bible, Jesus Christ. And so thank you very much for helping. Now, our different monthly offerings, we have the Best of Bob, and that's the radio show, the 8 best shows every month. After each program, we rate the shows. And there are people in the audience who help out, too. They email us at kgovlive@aol.com, and they say, tonight's show is a 7.2. Between 0 and a 10, we rate them. And, you know, an average Bob and Yurt Live would be a 5. And if it's exceptional, maybe it'd be a 7.5 or an 8. you pretty much have to get a homo to repent on the air to be a 10. Pretty much. So 10s are tough to get. But anyway, people can call up 1-888-8-N-YARDS, 1-888-836-9278, and order The Best of Bob. You get the 8 best shows every month, the highest rated shows, and we mail them in the middle of the month and at the end of the month, sort of. You could get the monthly Bible study, 4 Bible tapes each month, mailed monthly. The monthly sermons from Denver Bible Church. I pastor Denver Bible Church, and you could get our sermons mailed to you automatically, $24.95 a month. So give us a call, 1-888-8-N-YARDS. Get this fun material and help us grow. We're going to the phones now. Again, our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Somebody just got his first tapes, his cassettes, in the mail, and he said, thank you. That's an instant messenger. All right, let's go to Bloomington, Indiana. Dwayne, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Dwayne. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir.
Good. I heard some of your shows last week. I heard the little controversy over the sign.
Oh, the sign at the church.
Yeah.
Where, let me see if I recall, we got a message, a letter, an email, I don't know, my producer gave it to me, that a church, a Pentecostal church,
United Pentecostal Assembly,
in Bloomington, Indiana,
yes,
had a sign out front that said, it's better to be nice than right.
It is more important to be nice than it is to be right.
Boy, you're correcting me.
It is more important to be nice than it is to be right.
All right.
It's so, exactly what it said, and it was United Pentecostal Church.
How do you know that that's exactly what it said?
Because I know it. I saw it.
Oh, you saw it.
I'm the one that sent it in.
Hey, good for you, Dwayne. Thank you. It is more important to be nice than to be right. Than it is to be right.
Yeah.
Okay, now, it's United Pentecostal Assembly Parsonage.
Yeah, well, that's...
Oh, that's what's in the phone book.
Right.
Or on the internet. That's what we were trying to call last Friday night, Thursday night.
Okay.
And so you're saying, could our call screener get your number just so we can reach you if we have to?
Sure.
Because I'm going to try to call this church again tonight.
Okay.
I guess the parsonage.
Okay.
Then it is to be nice.
That was on there last fall.
Oh, so a long time ago.
Yeah, it wasn't real recent. So they may not even remember it. But I did send them some information at the time.
You sent them information?
Yeah.
What did you send them?
I sent them a Nicer Than God.
A Nicer Than God pamphlet?
Yes, I did.
Now, where did you get such a thing?
From Denver, Colorado.
Oh, you got it from us. Okay, we have a pamphlet. Among some people order an article pack from us, and we send out, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different articles, pamphlets, a few of each. And one of them is called Nicer Than God. And it goes through the Bible, this pamphlet does, and show how the standards for niceness today that Christians demand from others is completely foreign to the Bible. And in the Bible, there's confrontation, there's ridicule, sarcasm, name-calling, there's mocking. Not that you need to do those things all the time, but they're an important part of your tool chest of how to combat unbelievers. Sometimes you make fun of them, and that's the best thing you can do at that moment, at least if the Bible's right. So anyway, Dwayne, you sent them a Nicer Than God pamphlet.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to call them. Maybe as soon as you hang up. I'll try to call them. Now, we could call them when we're off the air, you know, and talk to them. But we figured, you know, we'd rather let the audience hear what the church says. If they want to talk or if they don't, I don't know.
Sure.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold so our call screener can get your information there. Great. Okay. Okay, so we do have the phone number. And obviously, we tried the right phone number last week, so I'm going to try again. I'm going to dial this here. Let's see. It is more important to be nice than it is to be right. Hello, this is KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado. And, sir, we're live on the air right now. Was that a click? That was a click. Now, those guys do not want to talk to a radio station. Now, what if somebody called... What if somebody called Denver Bible Church and said, "Hi, this is KABC Radio in Los Angeles. Is the pastor available?" I'd say, yeah, hold on a minute. "Hi, this is Bob Inyart. Can I help you?" I mean, I'd be ready. But I guess this church, maybe they feel like we're harassing them. We just want to ask them a question. Maybe we'll have to call off the air, record it, and then air the recording. I mean, that's almost as good, but... not really. It's more fun to do it live. All right. Now we're going to get to this big story in a bit about the terrorist who's being held by the U.S. military. He's an American citizen being held by the military. But you like to hope that the Justice Department will be really tough. But already today they're saying, "Oh, no, no, we wouldn't possibly try him with a military tribunal because he's an American citizen." It's just so sad, really, that you're vulnerable. You are vulnerable to a serious attack when you have a soft underbelly, when you don't have the courage to use wisdom and strongly to defend yourself, when criticism from the ACLU makes you shake in your boots and change your defense strategy, you're in big trouble. All right. Here we have an instant message from Indianapolis. Look at that, a call from Indianapolis, and here's an instant message. 86% of the felons voted for Gore and Democrats in the last election. Reno is just expanding the base. Now, I thought that felons didn't vote. That's what I thought. All right. Now, before we get to this, the latest terrorist suspect, Abdul Idrul Muhammad, whatever his name is, this story out of Conception, Missouri. And it's somewhat ironic that the name of the town is Conception, Missouri, as in the Immaculate Conception, because in this tragic story out today by the Associated Press this afternoon, a gunman opened fire at a Roman Catholic religious facility, an abbey. This is in northern Missouri, and he killed three people, including two monks. The other person, we don't know about the other person. And another person, a fourth person, was wounded in the attack at Conception Abbey in Conception, Missouri. The killer is at large, which tends to be unusual in these kinds of circumstances, right? That's a twist. And so it just makes your mind wander and you think about motives. And you wonder, why did this guy do this? And, of course, it could be any number of reasons. But the one that comes to the forefront of your mind is maybe he was one of the thousands who were molested by Roman Catholic priests and monks. I don't know they had all that many monks anymore. But, you know, the whole idea of monks and their asceticism and their vow of poverty, that's a pagan Greek concept. That comes from the pagan Greeks. And with August, well, St. Augustine, back about 1,600 years ago, with Augustine and even before him, many ideas from pagan Greek philosophy entered the church. St. Augustine is considered the number one most influential Christian theologian in history. And I submit to you that he was more influential than the apostles who wrote the New Testament. That more of what we believe as Christians, we believe because of Augustine than because of Paul, the apostle, or John, or Luke, who wrote about a quarter of the New Testament. More of what we believe because of Augustine, as far as the theological principles that most Christians adhere to, than of the Bible itself. And Augustine was basically a Neoplatonist. He liked Greek philosophy, Plato, Aristotle. And so Augustine wrote that he hesitated to become a Christian because when he read the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, he didn't like what it said about God and how it made God look, because the God that the Bible described was nothing like the immutable God of pagan Greek philosophy. And so he really didn't like it. So he went to his mother's church, and she had a bishop who was just a real hippo. And her bishop talked to Augustine and said, well, here's the deal. When you read the Bible, interpret it in light of Greek philosophy. And Augustine said, really? And the bishop said, of course. The Greek philosophers, they've identified pure truth. So the Bible must be consistent, and it's safe to interpret the Bible in the light of Greek philosophy. So Augustine said, all right, now I could be a Christian. And he really did become a Christian. But in his theology, he writes this in his own writings. He brags about this, that he interprets the Bible based on his overarching belief in Greek philosophy and Greek paganism. And that's the filter through which he viewed the Bible. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that Greek philosophical ideas, pagan ideas, flood the Christian church. They just flood it. What a shame. Anyway, look at this. We're almost at the bottom of the hour. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So, this gunman here, he killed three people at this Roman Catholic Abbey in Conception, Missouri. And that, of course, you think of the Immaculate Conception. And if you're not a Catholic, you probably don't know what the Immaculate Conception is, even if you're a Protestant. If you're a Catholic, half of the Catholics don't know what the Immaculate Conception is, because you think it would be, oh, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and conceived Jesus in her womb. Wrong answer. Nope. See, the Roman Catholic Church, just rather recently, created this concept of the Immaculate Conception and said that Mary was conceived in her mother's womb immaculately, without sin, so that Mary did not inherit sin, and she was sinless, and apparently she had to be that way for her to give birth to a sinless baby. But, you know, Mary calls God her Savior. And the Archangel Michael and Gabriel, they wouldn't call God their Savior because they're not sinners. They don't need a Savior. God is the Savior of the sinners who repent. So Mary, of course, was a sinner. The only sinless human was Jesus Christ. All right, here we are, live commercial break. We always do live commercial breaks. And I want to tell you about our videos. Today we sent 6 videos to Canada. And you know what was fun last Friday? Last Friday, we either got orders from or mailed orders to, let me tell you where, to Germany. I don't want to make a mistake here, so anybody in the audience, correct me, and anybody on the staff in the audience. Germany, Japan, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Well, can you count the U.S.? I guess so. We're a country. 5 countries that we took orders from or mailed orders to in one day. That was cool. That was our international day. Wow. Praise the Lord. So today we sent 6 videos to Canada. And let me see if I can remember what they were. I don't think I can, but I'll try. The one was our smash hit, Get Out of the Matrix, in which I debate an entire philosophy class in a college and their professor. That's fun. We mailed Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God and the death penalty, the New Testament support for capital punishment. What other? Okay. Sex Has a Price Tag by Pam Stenzel. Just a dynamite video, especially for young people, teenagers, and for singles, for church groups, to teach young people one of the many reasons why, or some of the many reasons why, they should wait until they're married, and be faithful thereafter. So that was, what was that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, Divorce and Remarriage, the movie. Not actually the movie, but the video, where we talk about Bible verses that are rarely considered by Christians. Divorce and Remarriage. And the 6th one was, I don't remember. What was the 6th video? There it is. I see it. Planets, Stars, and the Bible. The Star of Bethlehem, the Zodiac. What does the Bible say about all that? Really fun stuff. So call us, 1-888-8-N-Y-R. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt, 1-800-836-9278. Somebody called in and asked, how do you instant message during the show? Well, you can email us at kgovlive@aol.com. And if you know how to instant message, you do the same thing. Right? You do the same thing. kgovlive@aol.com. And somebody else, okay, that's just from our call screener. Yeah, okay. This note's just from our call screener suggesting that if anybody out there is interested in this concept of, you know, if Mary had to be born sinless, in order to give birth to a sinless child, then wouldn't Mary's mother have had to be born sinless to give birth to Mary? And if that's true, wouldn't Mary's mother's mother have to be sinless to give birth to Mary's mother? And wouldn't Mary's great-grandmother have to be sinless to give birth to her grandmother? And so on all the way back. Well, we have a show in our archives at kgov.com, kgov.com. It's just from a couple weeks ago. It's called The Turtle Abyss. And if you click on that show, you'll hear that idea developed, and it's sort of fun. And then there are 2 other shows. You got to go back. So go to, let's see, was it 2000 or 2001? I think it was early 2000. We had 2 shows where I debated a Catholic, and you could go to kgov.com and click on previous shows. Yeah, it's this year, 2002, and search for Catholic. You know how to search if you're on Windows, right? Just hit Control F. That'll do a find, and type Catholic, and you'll find a show, Bob Debates a Catholic. It's down there a few months ago. And you got two shows where we talk about that also, about Mary being sinless. All right. Now, before we get to the phones, our number 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. First, this email. How does a homeschooler change a light bulb? How does a homeschooler change a light bulb? First, mom checks three books on electricity out of the library. Then the kids make models of light bulbs, read a biography of Thomas Edison, and do a skit based on his life. Next, the kids dip their own candles to see what life was like before the light bulb. Next, everyone takes a trip to the store where they compare types of light bulbs as well as prices and figure out how much change they'll get if they buy two bulbs for $179 and pay with a $5 bill in $1980. Once at home, they build a home ladder out of branches dragged from the woods. The light bulb is installed, and there is light. That's pretty good. That's how a homeschooler changes the light bulb. In all the homeschool families out there, undoubtedly those who haven't already heard that are chuckling because of how true it is. It just smacks of realism. Okay, now, the terrorist with the dirty bomb. Now, there apparently was not an absolute plan here. It wasn't as though the plan was set and the bomb was set. But this U.S. citizen was working with Al-Qaeda to hurt us in a big way. So we'll get to that in a bit, but we're going to take your calls, 1-888-8-NYART. Let's go to Elkhart, Indiana. John, speak your mind.
Yeah, Bob, I don't believe that's your thoughts on the Immaculate Conception, is it?
What? What?
About Mary being sinless. Is that your thought?
No, not at all. That's the Roman Catholic Church.
I was born and raised Roman Catholic, and now I am a confirmed Lutheran. And I do believe it says it right in the Apostles' Creed. Incarnate by the Holy Ghost, right?
That Mary, right, that the Holy Spirit...
incarnate by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is sinless because male carries this sin, correct?
Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church believes that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary
and
she conceived Jesus within her womb. They believe that.
But they believe that she was sinless also?
Yeah, the Immaculate Conception is not the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary.
I always thought that, being born and raised Catholic,
yeah,
but I was ignorant to the fact, and now I'm not.
Yeah, that's why I said that half of all Catholics don't know what the Immaculate Conception is. I went to 8 years Catholic grammar school. I was an altar boy, and I used to read the readings during the Mass when I was about 13. But I didn't know what the Immaculate Conception was until I became a Protestant. And it turns out that the Catholic Church just recently, historically speaking, just recently declared that Mary was born sinless.
I've never heard that before, but...
Yeah.
I just thought to solve it all, just read the Apostles' Creed.
Well, that doesn't...
about Mary being immaculate?
It doesn't.
No, nowhere in Scripture, if I'm correct, but I don't know my Scripture that well yet.
Yeah, well,
learning.
Hey, but you said an interesting thing, John. You said that sin is passed on through the Father.
Correct.
Now, that's a really insightful statement.
And what they teach me.
Huh?
And that's what my pastor teaches me.
Well, he's exactly right. Do you know where he gets that idea from?
The seminary, I would assume.
Well, hopefully he gets it out of the Bible.
Yes, it's all out of Scripture. And my catechism was what the Bible says, and that's exactly what they teach me.
All right. Well, John, thank you. Maybe when we hang up, I'll explain to people in the audience who have never heard of that, how we know that sin comes through the Father and not the mother.
And I can't tell you where, but I know that is the truth.
All right.
The Scripture is always true, and it never changes.
Well, thank you for pointing it out.
God bless you.
Appreciate the call. God bless you. All right, here's Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. We were talking about the Immaculate Conception, so my co-host opened up the dictionary and said, hey, Bob, read this. I said, all right, I'll read this. It's, all right, Merriam-Webster's Immaculate Conception, and they have the date that phrase was first used, the first time you can find that phrase in history is in 1687. And this is their definition. The conception of the Virgin Mary, in which, as decreed in Roman Catholic dogma, her soul was preserved free from original sin by divine grace. That's the Immaculate Conception. And the Roman Catholics celebrate that feast on December 8th. December 8th, in commemoration of the Immaculate Conception. Now, the Immaculate Conception, it's not true. It did not happen. Mary was a sinner like every other human being, other than her own firstborn son, Jesus Christ. Mary was a sinner. And I've noticed that I don't think the church goes so far as to say that Mary was conceived by a virgin birth, because that would get a little confusing, right? The virgin birth of the Virgin Mary, who had a virgin birth of her son, it's too confusing. So as Merriam-Webster puts it here, that she was preserved free from original sin. But we'll go to the phones again, but I do want to talk about this idea. You know, we talk about this at Denver Bible Church. If there are people all over the country that tune into the show via the internet or our radio affiliates, but I pastor Denver Bible Church, which is obviously in the Denver area. So if you live in Colorado, if you're listening over KLTT, which is 50,000 watts, covers 32,000 square miles, if you're listening and you're within a stone's throw of Denver, then come on out Sunday mornings. We have our Sunday morning Sunday school at 9:30, and we discuss things like this, and it's interactive, and it's a lot of fun. I get to teach the adult Sunday school class, and then we have our church service at 10 to 11. And in the evening, 6 o'clock Sunday nights, we have our Bible study. We're in the book of Romans right now. We start chapter 8 next Sunday night, Father's Day. But why is it that we say that the fallen self, the sinful flesh, is inherited from the father and not from the mother? Where do we get that idea from? Let's go to the phones in South Bend, Indiana. Dean, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, sir.
I'm a Catholic.
Okay.
And I was listening to your conversation about Mary.
Yeah.
And there's even other things going on in the Catholic Church that's even more bizarre than that.
Mm.
And one of the things is making Mary a co-redemptrix.
Well, yeah. Now, most, you know, half of the Catholics don't know that, about the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
And 98% of the Catholics never heard of her as a co-redemptrix.
Yeah.
They never heard that term, although there are certainly many Catholics who believe that Mary suffered to pay for their sins.
Yeah, and they're trying to make her kind of like elevate her to a goddess status.
Well, we had a guy, Jorge, from Mexico, call into the show Friday night.
Right.
And he said all the Catholics in Mexico, the big problem he has is that so many of them just outright worship Mary, and Jesus is almost irrelevant. We'll be right back. I want to name for you some of our videos. This is a radio show. What do we have videos for? Well, Bob and Your Life started as a radio show. We went to TV. We were on in about 80 cities around the country. And now we're back. We're back on radio and on the web. But we've got quite a few videos from when we were a TV show, and these are just the best. How many TV shows did we do? I lost track, but somewhere around a lot. Somewhere around 1,500 TV shows. And we have about 20 videos. Just the best. And it's fun. We've got Bob Debates an ACLU Lawyer. That was on the Denver Public Television Station. That was fun. Amy's Call, where this woman, this female, Amy, calls in, and she insists that she's good enough to get to heaven, and she brought a baby in the world in such a selfish way that her baby didn't even have a daddy, a father, because Amy wasn't married. the baby had a physical, biological father, but not a dad who the baby would be raised in a secure household with parents who made a commitment for life. That's pretty selfish. So, Amy, come on. You think you're good enough to go to heaven? You're not even good in man's eyes, never mind God's eyes. And she got so mad, she used a very vulgar word. And I, real quick, not try not to let the word go out over the air, I hit the phone and wanted to put her on hold, but hung up on her. And she proved the point that she wasn't a lady, right? She's not a lady to speak like that. And people got so mad at me because I was rough with her. But you know what? Amy became a Christian. You could get the video. All right, we're back. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Just real quickly about how we know that the sin comes through the father and not the mother. How do we know that? You get your genes from mother and father. But God made us body, soul, and spirit. And when human beings reproduce, they not only reproduce a physical body, but also the soul spirit comes into existence at that moment of conception. It's really, really neat. And so what we know is that, well, when you read the Bible, you see that all the world died in Adam. Paul says that twice in Romans and in Corinthians. All the world died in Adam. In Adam, death came to the human race. When Adam sinned, death came to all the human race, not when Eve sinned. Eve sinned first. But death came to all of us when Adam sinned. Why is that? Because the world was in Adam in a sense that it was not in Eve. And so in the Bible, it says that when Abraham, before his own kids were born, Abraham, whatever he did, it was though the 12 tribes of Israel were doing it too, because they were in his loins. Pretty interesting. And of course, Jesus was born sinless, yet he had a mother, and he was born physically from her body. One of her eggs was fertilized by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is of Mary's flesh and blood, not her blood going through into the uterus, but from Mary's genetics. And Mary was a descendant of King David. So Jesus was a descendant of David from his own body, which is what the Bible says back in 2 Samuel. And Jesus was from Abraham's loins, which the Bible says he would be. Yet without sin, because he didn't have an earthly father, Joseph was his stepdad. All right, now, hey, Dean, are you still there?
Yeah, still here.
All right, so Dean, go ahead. Why don't you?
On Mary as a co-redemptrix?
Yeah.
I was talking with someone I'm related to about that, and I told her that if Mary ever became a co-redemptrix, as official policy, I was becoming a Southern Baptist.
Wow. Yeah, hey, because Jesus died for our sins, not Mary.
Yeah. Well, here's
a question I have for Catholics who remain Catholics but have a sincere faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Okay.
Why doesn't the Pope, since there are so many millions of Catholics who worship Mary, why doesn't the Pope issue an edict and say, Mary is not God. God is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Worship only God. Don't worship Mary. Why can't the Pope say that?
You know, he ought to do that. I don't know. But I can say one thing is there's plenty of room for evangelization in the Catholic Church the way things are going.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And you know, something else that I grew up Catholic, went 8 years right. Catholic grammar school. One of the things that really ticks me off lately is that the Catholics refuse to have a zero-tolerance policy for priests who molest children.
Yeah, that's sick.
You would think that'd be enough. You know, that's enough to be executed, never mind defrocked.
Yeah, or if nothing else, sterilized.
Yeah, with a crude instrument.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Dean.
Well, God bless you, Bob.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Appreciate your call. All right, now we're going to Indianapolis. This is Indiana Night. I'm Bob and you're live. Jeff, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I'm calling in reference to a show you had last week or a couple weeks ago on the subject of hell.
Yes,
where
sir.
You were talking about hell basically being a separation and not a literal fire.
Well, death is separation.
Right.
Death is not annihilation. Death is separation. And that I believe that hell is not literal fire, but that hell is living where God is not. And fire is a very good illustration of the misery, the self-imposed misery of someone who lives in hell.
Okay, I was curious as to what your view was on Luke chapter 16, verse 24, talking about Lazarus, when Lazarus says, mm-hmm. and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on, or the rich man,
mm-hmm.
said, cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Right.
Now, in that passage, that's not an allegory. There's a literal person named Lazarus.
You're saying because there's a name used, it can't be a parable.
Right. If there's a literal Lazarus, and it's got to be a literal flame.
Well, okay, and what's your authority for that?
Common sense.
Okay, and someone else's common sense can disagree with that. But let's talk about it. Do you believe that when the wicked die and go to hell, do you believe they take their bodies with them?
Not necessarily their bodies as we know them today.
I've always said that if you die and you go to hell, you're there as a disembodied spirit. You don't have a body. Like you die. People who died last year who don't love God, they're all in hell right now, and their bodies are decomposing in the grave, or maybe they burned up in a fire or were eaten by fish in the ocean. So their bodies are no more, and they are in hell. They're conscious, and but their soul spirit is alive, and they're sentient, they're self-aware, and there they are in hell. God doesn't give them a body like he will to Christians. We get a glorified permanent body, but God doesn't do that to the wicked, certainly not when they die on their way to hell. Would you agree with that, or do you think that Christianity has been completely wrong on that, and that the wicked who die have bodies in hell, physical bodies?
I can see the logic behind that. My question is, though, there's so many references to fire. For example, in Revelation, when it talks about
right.
how hell was thrown into the lake of fire.
Right.
Why is this, if there is no flames, if there are no flames, then why this reference to fire and flames over and over and over again?
All right. Well, I'd like to keep you where you started and then go to that.
All right.
I believe that when the wicked die, they go to hell, they don't have a physical body, that they're spirit beings. And I don't believe... And I believe in the separation of the spiritual and physical world, in that spirit beings, for example, would not be blocked by walls around your house. If God sent an angel to go to your house, he being a spirit being would be able to pass right through your walls. And I don't think if it was hot or cold outside, it would deter him one way or the other, because he's not physical, he's spiritual. And so I don't believe that the dead who go to hell right now today, I don't believe that they have a tongue. I don't believe that they can get thirsty. I don't believe they have a finger that they can dip in water. I just don't believe any of those things. So what I think is going on, which is extraordinarily common in the Bible and in all literature, is that there's a figure of speech going on here. This is an analogy to this is how miserable it will be This is how miserable it will be for those who die apart from God. It will be as though they are burning in fire and desiring even for a crumb or even for a drink of water.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, maybe we disagree, Jefferson, but that's how I see it.
Okay, Bob.
Thanks. Appreciate your call. All right. Okay. 1-800-8-N-YARD. 1-800-836-9278. And the point I made a week ago is when God is described as a refining fire, that doesn't mean he is a fire. When it says that God wants to bring us under his wings, it doesn't mean he has wings. It's normal to use figures of speech. When the Bible says that God will take his followers and refine them in the fire, as gold is refined in the fire, to burn away the dross, the impurity, it doesn't mean that we believers are going to go through a physical fire. And when Paul says those who are, well, I guess that wouldn't qualify, those who are saved as if by fire, well, there it's a clear figure of speech with the word as. Now, I'll ask the public school teachers in the audience, if you have a comparison using the word as, what figure of speech is it? How many public school teachers in the audience could get that? Maybe we'll give them a hint. Is it a simile or a metaphor? That's the hint. All right, let's go. What line should I take first here? All right. Let's go. This is Indiana night. We got more. All our lines are filled with people from Indiana. South Bend, Jack, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, in 1988, when I was living in Los Angeles, California,
yeah.
This really happened to me. I fell into a very deep sleep, and I had a vision because I believe what it says in Joel about young men shall see visions in dreams.
All right, now wait a second, Jack. Before you finish, I'll give you time to finish. Last week, I fell asleep and I had a vision that a guy named Jack from South Bend would call the show to tell us about a vision, and that guy, Jack, would sell all his worldly possessions and send us the money.
Okay. Well.
So go ahead and tell me your vision!
Seriously,
yeah!
I had a vision in 1988. I just want to make a comment about what you were just talking about.
1988, go ahead.
Okay, and I remember it very specifically, the year and everything. It was in the fall time. What I saw, I went into this deep, cavernous, dark area.
Yes.
And the cavern seemed to run downward.
And that's different than my vision. I was in the lobby of a bank, but go ahead.
Okay. No, and for real, I was in a deep, dark, cavernous area.
Yeah.
And then around the bend, I could see it afar off, and it was just like the scripture said, and it was so horrible I can hardly find human words to describe it.
All right.
I saw an empty lake of fire burning.
All right.
Just like the Bible says.
Hey, and Jack.
Then my vision was over, and when I woke up, I was even sweating.
All right, Jack, we're about out of time. How long do you think it'll take you to sell everything?
It depends on what the market is.
All right. I'd say sell as quickly as you can. We need the vision fulfilled. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. All right. Hey, this is really great. Wow. You know, we might have finally found a way to fund this ministry, this talk show. We call it a ministry because the content of the show is trying to get people to believe in Jesus Christ. But it's a talk show. People say, is it a Christian talk show? Well, what's that? I'm a Christian. I have a talk show. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.